I'm sure you know the old saying that the old ones are the best. So here we go. John had been in his Sunday school group. But when he came back into church, he looked very upset and quite dejected. His mum had no idea what might have happened. So after the service, she sat him down and asked him. He said he was in a dilemma. He didn't know what to do. He wanted to follow Jesus, but he didn't want to become a vicious old man. Mum was even more confused until she spoke to the Sunday school leader, who told her they'd been looking at today's gospel when all became clear. Ah, she says, fishers of men, not vicious old men. Well, as I said, indulge me. Now, I've walked past the gate that goes into Bolney Place at the junction of the street and the 272 many, many times. I don't know how many times, but I've always been struck by the sign on the gate. Does anybody know what the sign on the gate is? It says Kingdom Security. And for 4.5 years I've been thinking this must be a theme for a sermon. And now my time has come. Where is my security? Where is my hope? Psalm 62, one of David's psalms, makes me think how, in a lot of ways, nothing has really changed. When verse 10 says, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It also says to put no confidence in extortion and robbery, but I'm hoping that that doesn't apply to anybody here. But the message about not setting our hearts on increased riches, I think, remains as relevant today as it did then. David tells us his hope is from God. God alone is his rock. God alone is his salvation and fortress. In God rests his deliverance and honour. Trust in him at all times, he says. Pour out your heart, for he is our refuge. Kingdom security. God is our refuge, our safe place, our rock, our fortress. And it is in him we should and must invest everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding. I'm sure you remember the parable and the lovely Sunday school song that comes from it about the wise man and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. I'm sure you've sung that anyway. You build your house on the sand, when the storms come, it washes away. If you build your house on the rock, it's solid, it's sure, and it will withstand the storms that life will inevitably throw at all of us. Jesus is our rock, our refuge, our safe place, our security. Simon, Andrew, James and John knew this. Now it's quite possible that they may have heard of or indeed have met Jesus before this particular meeting. But this was the pivotal point. This was the point where they effectively abandoned everything else that they knew to invest fully and commit to Jesus. And of course they had absolutely no idea where that would lead to. But they just knew that it was the right thing to do. I wonder what we would have done. Would we have given up our families, our livelihoods, to take a path with this rather peculiar prophet into the total unknown? Honestly, I don't know how I would have responded. However, for most of us here, we have answered the call to follow him and to put our trust in him. How much have we given up to do that? How much does Jesus ask us to give up? For some, he still asks to give up everything. For others, he wants us to bring his light into the places where we already are. I wonder, when you read this gospel account, how many of you have thought about Zebedee? Poor old Zebedee. He was left to run the family business without the family. Bye, Dad, we're off. Keep well, see you sometime, maybe. And you can imagine the sign above the shop. Zebedee and Sons, purveyor of fine fishes. with the and sons having to be rapidly rubbed out. Anyway, I digress. David put his trust in the Lord, his rock and fortress. These four young men put their trust in Jesus, the same Lord in who David put his trust. They knew this was the only safe place to invest trust. Now, the book of Hebrews took me a little while to get into. In fact, it wasn't really until I'd read the whole of the Old Testament did I really understand the full relevance of what the writer was saying to his Jewish Christian listeners. And I think I needed to understand a lot more about Judaism from the Old Testament. Then the book of Hebrews has become a book that I really love, because it provides that wonderful link between the Old and the New Testaments. Doesn't mean it isn't quite a heavy read, because it is. Now, you may recall that under the old law, the sins of the people still had to be dealt with before God. And that was done ceremonially once a year on the so-called Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's a day which all Jews still remember. It's a day of confession, of prayer, and often fasting. Now, when the temple was in Jerusalem, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, right in the center of the temple, and it was the place where God said he would be dwelling amongst his people. But only the high priest could enter, only once a year, and only with the blood of a sacrifice. He'd also always go in with a rope tied around his waist, in case he was struck dead in the presence of a holy God, so that he could be dragged out. The Holy of Holies was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain or veil, separating holy God from sinful people. Now, if you remember, it was this veil that was torn from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, at the moment that Jesus died on the cross. Because at that moment, the separation of God from mankind was removed. Because now the one perfect sacrifice had been offered by the great high priest, the sacrifice of himself. Now, I get very excited and in awe when really getting a grasp of this link between the old covenant and the new covenant. The wonderful way our sin, and indeed the sin of the whole world, has now been dealt with. I think the writer to the Hebrews got pretty excited as well. And I feel I want to leave the words to him, as I'm going to read the passage again, but in a different translation. So just let it wash over you and absorb. The Anointed One didn't enter into handcrafted sacred spaces, imperfect copies of heavenly originals, but into heaven itself, where he stands in the presence of God on our behalf. And there he does not offer himself over and over as a sacrifice, as the high priest on earth does when he enters the most holy place each year with the blood other than his own, because that would require his repeated suffering from the beginning of the world. No, he has appeared once now at the end of the age to put away sin forever by offering himself as a sacrifice. So in whom do we put our trust? In whom do we put our hope? Who do we choose to follow when he calls us? Where is our kingdom security? Jesus, the great high priest, who has dealt with all our sin once and for all through that perfect sacrifice of himself, he is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our refuge and safe place. And he still calls each of us. Come, follow me. So how will we respond to his call? Amen.